Hello and welcome to the Friday, April 8th, 2016 edition of the Sand Center Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. And yet another paper that details how to break CAPTCHAs, and in this case, the most recent version of Google's reCAPTCHA as well as Facebook. Now, Google recently went sort of to a two-stage CAPTCHA where if they are pretty sure that you're a human, they will just give you that little checkbox that says, I'm not a robot. But the users with a higher risk score get an array of 9 images and then have to click on similar images. That's actually, I think, pretty challenging. But in this particular paper, researchers show how they were able to solve these CAPTCHAs with about 80% accuracy in about 19 seconds. Similar for the Facebook CAPTCHA, which also uses an array of images and then asks the user to click on a certain type of image. Overall, it just shows that humans have to get a little bit better at being human in order to outrun the machines here when it comes to solving CAPTCHAs. And business email compromise is still a great way for attackers to make millions of dollars. Apparently, Mattel, the toy company, just fell for such an exploit and lost a couple million dollars there. The FBI released new numbers as to how much damage this kind of scam cost, and they are up to $2.3 billion now since October of 2013. So that's about 2.5 years or roughly $1 billion. A year. They're tracking about 17,000 victims of this, and since January 2015, so about a year ago, they see about a 270% increase in identified victims and exposed loss. Now, according to this report, actually most of these cases are smaller. They're not these big million-dollar cases that you hear about in the news, but still, the average loss is between $25,000 and $75,000. Now, this is the number the Arizona or the Phoenix Bureau published, so the average numbers are for Arizona. Another big problem, of course, ransomware, and we do have a decryptor for yet another ransomware sample, PowerBear or PoshCoder. However, big caveat here, it'll only work for you if you have full packet captures, because the encryption key is sent in the clear back to the command and control server. That's how you decrypt a file. It uses simple symmetric encryption, so once you have the key, then it's not too difficult to decrypt the files. Earlier versions of this malware apparently did corrupt some files and render them undecipherable. Now, these pieces of malware have been seen quite a bit against the healthcare industry, so that's where you may come across them. But then again, I don't see a lot of organizations that do full packet captures. If you do, that's certainly a great thing to do here. It's a post request, by the way. So just a simple proxy typically does not capture the post payload. They only sort of capture the URLs. And of course, while you're at it, the blog post by Alien Vault also has a snort rule in order to detect this activity. And the blog post by Takeshi Terada does nicely summarize some of the attacks against browsers that support cross-site scripting filtering. Pretty much all modern browsers do it, where they profile the user's input, and if a script tag, for example, shows up, and then the website actually echoes that script tag back, well, then a character is replaced in that script tag. The way this is usually exploited is that you're trying, for example, to figure out if a certain script snippet is on the page that a user visits. In that case, you just send that script snippet as part of the URL, such a simple get parameter will usually work. And then if it's being blocked, then you know that the script was present on the site, because it will not just look for the script tag, it will look for the entire script snippet to be sent back. So interesting exploits there, and there are about a dozen or so different exploits being listed in this particular document. One way you can make your cross-site scripting filtering a little bit better is by actually asking browsers to block responses versus obfuscate them. It's not perfect, but usually makes exploitation of these vulnerabilities a little bit more difficult. Well, that's it for today. I just double-checked and don't see Adobe's Flash patch yet. They had announced it for today, but they said as early as today, so maybe they'll release it tomorrow. That's it for today then, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.